I'm speaking today on a, for many of you, it's probably a little bit unfamiliar, this subject, and it's called the month of Elul, which is preparing for the next year, the month of Elul, preparing for the next year. Now, as I've shared many times, God has appointed seasons according to the scriptures. And the feasts of Israel celebrate these seasons. And I believe that God does something special during these seasons when the feasts of Israel are actually being celebrated. Next month is the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar. The Feast of Trumpets, now known in Jewish tradition as Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles all occur in the seventh month. It's the most significant month in the biblical calendar. It's the month that the nation of Israel gathered as a community to stand before God and have the sins of the community cleansed. 5 days later, the greatest feast day of the year occurs, known as the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, remembering God's provision for the nation, thanking Him for the harvest, and rejoicing as a community. Now, Jewish tradition altered the meaning of these days, and it's important to understand the changes that they made to understand what we're going to do this year and what we've done last year. Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the seventh month in Jewish tradition, is celebrated as the beginning of the new year. But its significance in Jewish tradition is that according to it, the Book of Life is opened on this feast, and for most people, their life is weighed in the balance for the next 10 days until the Day of Atonement, where one's name is either sealed in or out of the Book of Life for the next year. These intervening 10 days are known as the Days of Awe, and it's the most serious part of the Jewish year where Jewish people are seeking to get right with God. Now, as believers in Yeshua as the Messiah, we have confidence that our names are written in the Book of Life permanently as a result of His work on the cross for us. But as a Messianic Jewish congregation, we act in a priestly role for the Jewish people, intercessors who represent the Jewish people before God, plead for their salvation, and call them to take their place in God's plan. Hence, while the Jewish people seek to get right with God during this period, we seek God for His agenda for our people, our congregation, and to intercede for our people to see and acknowledge Yeshua as the Messiah. That's what this period is for us. Now, last year, we did something very different than we have in the past. Rather than hold the traditional services, we held special intercessory prayer services during each of the days of awe for a particular vision or mission of the congregation. We sought the Lord for His plan and prayed it into being. And those of you that were here last year, you remember, we took one day and we prayed for all the Jewish people worldwide. We took another evening and we prayed for the Richmond Jewish community. We took another evening and we prayed for the Russian Jewish community. We took another evening and prayed for anti-Semitism in the church. We took another evening and we prayed for the city of Richmond. We took another evening and we prayed for the United States. We took another evening and we prayed for the worldwide outreach to all peoples and all over the world. And it was a time of tremendous impact in the Spirit of the Lord, as the Lord gave us revelation to pray over these various things and so on. Now the question is, why am I talking about this today? Because this week, starting this Friday, begins the sixth month of the biblical calendar, the Jewish calendar, the Jewish month of Elul. Now, it's known in Jewish tradition as the month of preparation. It's the preparation that is for the events of the seventh month. Because the seventh month is such a serious month for the Jewish people that there is a concentration during the sixth month to get right with God to prepare for the seventh month. It is a time when extra prayers are prayed, Ritual baths are taken. Psalms are read. It's a serious month. And it all should be an important month for us. We need to get ready for this coming year. We need to begin to hear from God as a community what His plan for us is in this year. Now, if you recall, last year we sought the Lord for His plan for us as a congregation and as a community last year. And last year, the theme that was given by God for us as a congregation was that we were to be a house of prayer for all nations, taking from Isaiah chapter 56, if you recall. The premise was the original vision that God gave to Mo Slate here over 10 years ago. And for those of you that are new, and for those who are not, I just want to reiterate that vision that has so much dictated to us the will of God for our lives in this congregation. 10 years ago, this building was completely vacant. It had been the leading Orthodox synagogue in Richmond for 30 years, and in the 1970s, the people moved out, went further to the West End. And so it laid dormant, vacant, for 15 years. People prayed for this building, laid hands on this building long before I even knew about it, before I even knew anything about Richmond, Virginia, except I would pass in the night through Richmond. And that was because I was from Washington. No one knew anything, but people were praying that the Lord would send a Messianic Jewish congregation into this building. And over 10 years ago, in prayer, in a small meeting in someone's home, Mo Slate had a vision of this building. And the vision was, he saw the building and people walking up and down the street like a normal daily life, normal course of week. And all of a sudden, the Star of David right over here started glowing, got lighter and lighter, so that people could see the light from the distance. And suddenly people stopped on the street and they started coming in and out of the doors here in the building. Many Jewish people particularly coming in and out of the doors. And suddenly this building started pulsating with life as if it was breathing. The walls were going in and out. And that was the vision. And it was that vision that caused us to move into this building 6 years ago on Hanukkah in 1990. And that's where we started, a much smaller group. The place was a complete wreck. And the Lord, supernaturally, through good and through ill, has restored this place to greater than its former glory. Amen? Greater than its former glory. Because Yeshua is in our midst. Now, we've seen that vision set us forth last year to grab hold of this concept of a house of prayer for all nations. And we've seen a significant fulfillment of that this past year, this vision. Three major ministries exist in this synagogue right now. Our congregation, Russian Immigration Services, and the Vineyard Church. And almost every day this place is bustling with life. It's incredible. Compared to 6 years ago when this was a rundown place, now you come down here and literally, you can't get any work done in this place because there's so much activity going on here all the time. In the evening, Sidra was telling me she came down. I was down here one night, and she would go in from one room. People were praising the Lord. Another room, people were praying. I mean, it was in the evening. It was like there's just things. There's like no way to get in here without disrupting something that the Lord's doing. And it's really only the beginning. And in fact, because there's so much activity, that's why there's construction in this other room right next door, because we're building an office for me and for Ken Peters of the Vineyard, so that when I come in here, I can get something done. Because coming into the office back there, it's like a zoo. People are in and out of there, running around and everything else. You can barely move. It's so crowded with people and with activities and all kinds of stuff. And I never thought, when we moved in here 6 years ago, I never thought we would need more space, because I figured this building was so huge. But we've gotten to a place where we are maxing out because of the movement of God. And because He's fulfilling the vision of this place being a house of prayer for all nations, okay? Which means nations in Hebrew, goyim, which means the Gentiles, okay? So Jews and Gentiles together worshiping the Lord. That's His goal. Now, all three ministries have experienced significant growth this past year. But in addition to what these individual ministries have been involved with and what we've been involved with, we've seen other events fulfilling the vision of a house of prayer for all nations. It wasn't insignificant that many of the planning meetings and the prayer meetings for the March for Jesus, as Dan mentioned earlier, was held in this building because it's a house of prayer for all nations. And our city is critically important to the Lord and towards the mission of this congregation. There have been mission trips for young people throughout this entire year, as we prayed for Liz today and Sandy last week. People have gone out to Russia, Israel, Chile, Finland, Europe, and Africa, just this past year alone. There's been increased intercession in this building as we've gone from 2 meetings to 4 intercessory prayer meetings to 5 intercessory prayer meetings. And our goal is that every night there'll be intercessory prayer, and the ultimate goal is that there'll be prayer here 24 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week, because nothing happens without prayer. Then we've seen an incredible cooperation with Youth with a Mission as they finally have adopted the Jewish vision after all these years and now are working with us to reach the unreached people groups, Jewish people all over the world as we're working on this project together. It's a remarkable thing that we'll be talking about more this year as we get greater clarity. There's this other project that we've gotten involved in tangentially called the Caleb Project, which is it's part of YWAM, I think, which they put together a prayer book in October. You pray for 31 days for various groups. And for the first year, they decided to pray for the Jewish people. And I wrote the section for this that's going to be sent internationally. So people will have not just praying for Jewish people, which is great, like kind of like the Southern Baptists, you know, they did the Reach Jews and so forth, and that's good. But there's something in addition to reaching Jewish people with the gospel. It's calling them to their rightful place as Jews in the Lord, not to become converted to Christianity, but to be Messianic Jews, which is God's original intention. And so what greater thing to help design and to draft the very prayers that are going to be prayed by groups worldwide for the Jewish people this year. It's an incredible time. We also had a time where we took a whole month during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, and we prayed for the Muslim people during that month. And we saw incredible miracles worldwide as we heard back reports. God specifically answering prayer through divine visions for the Muslims in the world, because part of the key to Israel is reaching the Muslims with the gospel. Jews and Muslims together praising the Lord. Amen. What a great testimony. It's been a good year and a very productive year. But at Shavuot, back in May, we went up for the retreat, and there's a leaders' retreat beforehand, and Dan Jester wanted me to speak to the rest of the leaders, and the Lord gave me a message for them, which was called Riding on the Crest of God's Wave. And the idea of it was that the Lord, like a wave, is always moving forward. He's always moving, and it's so easy to miss the Lord. But the key is to get on that crest of the wave, that part of the wave that is turning over, so that that board, that surfboard, is constantly moving forward, and you don't let the wave pass you, and you don't get it in beforehand, but you're always riding on the crest of God's wave. We don't want to become complacent. That's the key. And one of my greatest fears that I have personally, I think I've shared this with this congregation, but I did share it with a group of leaders in Pennsylvania, and I said this: my greatest fear is that we become complacent in what God has done. And like so many other groups that I've been familiar with, I've seen so many people from past revivals in the Lord, and they're still living in the revivals of the 1950s and 1960s and 1970s rather than being part of the work of 1996, or for 1997 being part of God's work in 1997. Because God never stays still for very long. He's moving forward, and we need to be moving forward with Him. Amen? Turn with me to Numbers chapter 9. Numbers 9. Numbers chapter 9. Verse 15. Numbers 9, verse 15. It says this: on the day the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in the camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. Notice how the people moved with God. We need to be where God is. We can't get ahead of him, and we can't fall behind him. When the cloud stops moving, it's time for refreshing, rest, and empowerment. When the cloud moves, it's a time for conquering. Amen? We must have both. We need to be cognizant of where the cloud is. We need both. We've got to be empowered by God. We've got to be in that place at times where we are just in a place of refreshing and restoration. But then we can't stay there like they did, like when Peter and John and James saw Yeshua on the Mountain of Transfiguration with Moshe and Elijah. And he said, let's stay up there. Let's do, you know, let's just stick where we are. And Yeshua said, actually the Father said, no, you know, go with him and so on. And so the key thing is that we need to be involved in both, a time of refreshing and a time of going. That's the Lord. So how do we know where the cloud is? I mean, how are we going to know? In some ways, it was somewhat convenient in the Old Covenant because you saw the physical manifestation of the glory of God. There was this huge cloud hovering over. And so it was very easy to see it. And when it got up, it went. So how do we know where the cloud is? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus 24. And this is the purpose of this talk today. Exodus 24. Exodus 24, verse 1. It says this. Exodus 24, verse 1. Then he, the Lord, said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice. Linda, can you grab a little one there and either send him to class or send him to his mother? One of the two. He shouldn't be running around. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice. Everything the Lord has said, we will do. Moses then wrote down everything that the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, we will do everything the Lord has said, we will obey. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God and they ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commands I have written for their instruction. Then Moses set out with Joshua his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud, and as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now I want you to notice what it says in verse 18 of this, what we just read, it said Moses stayed on the mountain for 40 days. According to Jewish tradition, he came down from the mountain with the tablets of stone on the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is the 10th day of the 7th month. The beginning of the 40-day period that Moses refers to is when? When does the 40-day period begin? The first of the 6th month, right? The month of Elul, which is where we are now. We're going to be coming into on Friday. What was to happen during these 40 days that Moses was up on the mountain? What was supposed to happen? The people were to wait upon God for the revelation of God's plan for them as brought to them through Moses. This was not a time for individual revelation, but rather a time when the whole community was to receive its mission and commission. Now, naturally, what God calls an individual to do is directly connected to his plan for the larger community. So there is a place for seeking God for direction individually and corporately. Now, under the old covenant, only a few were anointed by the Spirit. Only a few could hear directly from the Lord. But under the new covenant, as Jeremiah says, all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. All who call on the name of Yeshua have the Spirit of God within them and the mysteries of God. And will hear them. In other words, all those who call on the name of Yeshua will have the words of the Lord revealed to them when they call upon his name. Now, our leadership is going to be meeting, from our congregation, is going to be meeting 2 weeks from today, the weekend prior to the Labor Day weekend. And this two-day meeting is where we are going to be seeking God for the direction for this coming year and then planning the budget. 3 weeks following that will begin Rosh Hashanah on the Days of Awe, where we will again pray for and through the vision that God reveals for us this year. But we're going to do something different this year. And that's why I handed you those little inserts in your bulletin. That's what these are for. Because everyone can hear from the Lord who calls on the name of Yeshua. I want you to repeat this with me. Say, I can hear from God. Say that. I can hear from God. If you have the Spirit of Yeshua in you, then you can hear from the Lord. And we need you. In other words, we need you to hear from God. This is not like the old covenant. It's not like I go up onto a mountaintop and I sit before the Lord for 40 days and I come back with the revelation for everybody in the congregation. That's not the way it works in the new covenant era. Now, yes, the Lord uses leaders, of course, but everybody is involved in hearing from the Lord. And so what I want you to do is over the next 2 weeks, I want you to take those little pieces of paper, the inserts, and I want you to begin to seek the Lord for the congregation. Okay? Ask the Lord, what is the direction that God has for the congregation for this year? I don't want things like, no, I don't like oneg anymore. Okay? That's not what I'm looking for. Okay? What I'm looking for is, what does God say about our direction? What is he going to say? Okay? And then I've written down three different things for you to put down. First one is visions and dreams. What do I mean by that? Sometimes when you seek the Lord will give you a vision or a dream of something that he wants to do. And a lot of times it'll be like in a picture. It's not something that you can necessarily say, this is exactly the way it's going to be. But it's a picture of what God wants to do. And you can see it throughout the prophets. The Lord often used the prophets to create pictures that then would instruct the people of Israel. God speaks in visions and dreams today. Do you believe that? I mean, did something happen after Yeshua came that we are no longer able to see visions and dreams? Of course we can. We should have them more. The scripture says in the last days when the Spirit pours forth, people will be having visions and dreams and prophesying one to another. In fact, one of the signs in the new covenant era is the supernatural manifestation of God in people's lives. So of course we should be able to hear from the Lord. And I want you to hear from God about us. I want you to seek the Lord and write down things. Jot them down on that. And you don't feel limited to that little space there. I'm just giving you an outline. You can write a few pages. Write it down. The second thing I have there is revelation. What do I mean by revelation? The Lord may not show you in a dream or a vision, but he may give you a prompting. He may say, this is what I want to accomplish. This year, Tikvah Israel is supposed to be involved with Afghanistan or something. I mean, I'm just saying that. I don't know. But, you know, who knows? Maybe. But that's what I'm saying. And Lord, you just feel prompted. It's like the Lord reveals something to you. That's what revelation means. It means to be revealed. And if you sense that, then write it down, okay? Write it down. And finally and lastly, suggestions. Okay, now suggestions don't have to come from above. They can come from you. In other words, you don't like Oneg, but you have a good suggestion to remedy it, okay? I don't want people writing, I don't like Oneg, okay? But what I want you to write is if you see that Oneg could be improved and you're willing to help improve it, okay? Not just, hey, you do this and you do this and you do this. Oh, thank you very much. And what are you going to do? Okay? The key for suggestions is, this is the change I suggest and I'm willing to help implement it. Okay? That's the only suggestions I want. And now, you know, if you're going to suggest, let me, speaking for you, speak every Saturday morning, I'm not sure if I'm going to abide by that suggestion. One other little warning I want to say about visions, dreams, and revelations. Oh, well, first of all, let me step back. What I want you to do with that, I want you to take that. I don't want you to give it to me. I want you to give it to your home group leader, okay, over the next week. And you really need to do it in about a week because they need to have it. They're going to collect all of them from the home group. They're going to pray themselves. And then they're going to distill them, all the revelations and visions and suggestions, so that we bring them into the leadership meeting. And then we're all praying over all the same stuff. And we're going to really hear from the Lord. So the only people that can give it to me are the West End home group people. Everybody else, you've got to give it to your own home group leader. And if you don't have a home group leader, you need to be in a home group. Okay? So find a home group and give it to them. And then go to the home group. All right? So that's an easy remedy. Now, one cautionary thing. And then, Paul, why don't you come up here with your shofar. One thing I want to say this. As far as receiving visions, dreams, revelations. Okay? Everything other than the scripture has to be tested, okay? So you may feel, I received this from the Lord, but we may disagree. That doesn't mean that we're saying to you that you're a false prophet or that we're going to stone you or we're going to kick you out of the congregation. You know, we're probably going to raise your tithe amounts, but no, I'm just kidding. But what it does mean is we are giving you the privilege of seeking the Lord to hear from him, but then you have to give us the honor and responsibility to be able to glean what you have shared you think is from the Lord without getting offended, okay? And trust the Lord that he's going to be able to speak through us to be able to distill what the Lord is going to want and what he's going to bring about. Is everybody with me on this? Okay, is everybody going to participate? We really want to hear from the Lord together as a community. We have to walk together. We're an army that the Lord's building up to walk together. This year is going to be the greatest year that we've ever experienced. I know it. But it can only be a great year if we are doing what God wants us to do, right? And so we need to know what the Lord wants us to do first. And that's your responsibility and my responsibility together, and we will seek the Lord. Now, I want everybody to stand on their feet. And my brother Paul, because this is the Sabbath preceding the new moon, the new month, and we're going to blow the shofar as a conclusion to this testimony, a conclusion to this word, and that the Lord will seal the words in and he will give you divine vision, divine dreams and revelations, and that the power of God will come upon you, that you're going to hear from the Lord and help us to march forward. Amen. Go ahead, Paul. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray in the name of Yeshua to this day, Lord God, that you would, Lord, anoint each and every person in this room, Father, with a special gift to hear, Lord God, from you. Lord, a supernatural hearing, Lord, which we have by your Spirit. And Lord, that we will all agree together that we're going to participate in seeking your face, Lord God, through prayer and fasting, Lord, over these next couple of weeks. To hear from you, Lord, so that we can move together And Father, that we can see your cloud as your cloud moves, Lord, and that we will be right with the cloud of glory this day. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.